Please do be seated, except for Danny, who's going to come up and speak. Would you like me to pray with you before we start? I'm not picking on you. Let's just pray for Danny.
Okay.
Father, we do just thank you for Danny. Thank you for the ministry that you have anointed him with. And Lord, we pray that as he speaks, you would enable us to have hearts and minds open to hear your voice through him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hello to all of you. Great to see you. Those that are hiding behind there. Those over there. Hello. Hello. What a wonderful name is Jesus. What a wonderful, glorious, wonderful name is Jesus. Do you know? Have you met Jesus? Because if you have, you wouldn't have some sweat. You stopped the flow there. Okay. Yes, if you've met Jesus, you would know. You would know. Because you would give half of what you had to the poor. And if you had cheated anything out of anyone, you would give four times back. What I'm saying, what I'm telling you, what I want you to grasp is that meeting Jesus is an extraordinary event. It changes you. You're not the same. But how does that change happen? Well, you've probably heard the news. We've celebrated 50 years since man first walked on the moon. What did it take for that to happen? Well, singleness of purpose. So that was what was going to happen. All resources, all effort, all the know-how directed in one direction to achieve the goal. Jesus said, go, make disciples, teaching them all I have taught you and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's greater than reaching the moon. And we want and we need a singleness of purpose to realize that. And every generation, every group of people that have met Jesus and have been transformed by Jesus have that desire in their hearts. Let's briefly consider the Gospel's passage that was read to us. When Jesus reached that spot, and now Jesus was going on his way to Jerusalem as he at many occasions did. For many of the festivals, it was the way that he went. He was going to Jerusalem. He was passing by. But in tune with the Father, he knew that he had to stop at a certain place. So he stopped and said to Zacchaeus, come down. So he met Zacchaeus where he was, a small so-and-so character from that town, a person that was hated, a person that was not accepted, a person that was, for all intents and purposes, just not wanted. But Jesus met him where he was, climbed upon that sycamore tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, I call you by name. I know you. And I need to go and have a meal with you. Come down at once. And as always happens, good news like that doesn't always, you know, go down too well with everyone. And there were those that moaned. I'm sure that no, there's no moaners here. Now, we read Jesus, what Jesus did. We're going to see how Paul ministered. But I just want to stop a little bit, because I don't want you to go in with the impression that this is something that people like Jesus, people like Paul, you know, people that are seen to be something. Well, Jesus is really something. Are the ones that have to do this sharing of the gospel. If you read previously in chapter 11 of Acts, it tells us a story about how some plain people that were doing and going around their business shared the gospel of the good news. So this is not something for an elite few, a selected few, but it's for everyone to share. You see, when you meet Jesus, you cannot stop but share Jesus. My prayer is that each one of us here would go out changed in such a way that we would have a heart here that desires to share about Jesus, that is willing to meet people that are up the creek, people that are perhaps not your, well, the nicest people to meet. But you have such a heart for them that you meet them because you have met Jesus. The reading that we had today in Acts chapter 17 starts saying that he was in great distress to see the city full of idols. But before we go into that, look at what Paul's situation was. Paul was waiting. He wasn't doing particularly anything else special. He was not on a crusade. He was not having an important meeting set out before him. He was just waiting for the rest of his team to come down to Athens. And he was looking around. He was looking at the sights. As you probably, if you go to Athens, you look at the sights, don't you? So this is what the situation was. Similar to Jesus. Jesus was entering Jericho and was passing through. He had no particular business in Jericho. But in tune with what God was saying, he was able to meet people where they were. Let me tell you about my friend David. David hasn't had the best of starts in life. In actual fact, his schooling was not the best, and he's ended up as an adult not being able to read or write properly. So he's gone to adult reading lessons, and his coach asked him, what objective? Why do you want to learn how to read? What would you like to do once you learn how to read? And David said, you know what I want? I want to stand at church and read the lesson. That's what I want to do. Now, David was coming from a place of his identity with Christ. He was coming with that relationship with Christ, and he shared what was on his heart to this person that was just a person in a class. You know what happened? This person, this coach, was touched in such a way that for the first time in years, she went back to church. It wasn't a meeting, a church meeting. It wasn't just something special that David had great gifts in preaching or speaking. In human terms, you know, he is not very much. But in God's sight, he is beloved. He knows the Master and he shares about Jesus because Jesus is important to him. In a circumstance that is just something that happened. You see, Paul was there and his heart was distressed, it says, because the city was far away. The city was full of idols. And let's get things straight. It wasn't here talking about a TV series, okay? That's not the context. Idols refers to the image of the Greek deity, false gods. An idol is anything, basically, that replaces God. It might be a thing or a person that becomes an object of my worship or devotion. I had another friend come to me and said, look, I need to speak to you. He said, I've found out that during this whole period of my life, I've been putting logic instead of God. Not that it's wrong to think logically, not that reasoning is something wrong, but when something becomes instead of God, then, whoa, it becomes an idol. The words Paul uses here, greatly distressed, means that he was suffering from extreme anxiety and sorrow and pain. His spirit was grieved because people didn't know Jesus. How do you view this society today? How do you view the people around you? I pray that our understanding of what's happening is not a thing, well, that's their option. Whatever they choose is okay. They don't know Jesus. My heart is bleeding. My heart is full of anxiety. My heart is distressed because they don't know Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, their eternity is in question. What will happen to them? They don't know Jesus. Is that your heart? It's not a case of just a different culture. It is a different culture, but it's a culture without Jesus. So this distress took him to reason with everyone he could. He went to the synagogues and he spoke to Jews and to God-fearing Greeks. He went to the marketplace with those who happened to be there. And there were a group of philosophers, Epicureans and Stoics. He debated with them. But what was Paul talking about? What was this? He reasoned, and I would put that reason in brackets, really. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They weren't sure what Paul was saying. What is it that he was reasoning with him? Verse 18, at the end of verse 18 says, they said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. You see, he's talking about the resurrection. And I don't think about, when I speak about the resurrection, is there logic in that? Is it something you can reason? Resurrection into existence? No, resurrection is something that God does because He is the giver of life. And there will be people that say, what are these gabblers talking about? What is it that these Christians are talking about? You see, we're not trying to convince people. We're sharing the good news of Jesus. The one that died, the one that came, that taught us, that lived amongst us, died and resurrected and is seated at the right hand of God. Paul in Corinthians says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstrations of the Spirit, with power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So Paul preached, Paul talked, Paul shared about Jesus and his resurrection. Let me share with you my friend Hannah, about my friend Hannah. She comes from a family who's Christian, a Christian. But she through things in life that happened that are hurtful, she went away from God for a long time. And now she's coming back and she says, but just show me. Show me that God loves me. You see, the people in the marketplace, the people that are wanting to understand and standing, that you might not just be passing by, don't want to be convinced. They want to know Jesus. They want to know that they are loved. They want to know that what God has done for them. They want to know why this Jesus came down to live amongst us, to die and rise again. You see, God demonstrated his love, his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. Christ met us. Christ came to us. Listening like Paul did, listening to what was around him, looking at what was around him, seeing what God was saying, praying and listening, practical help, is a way that we are called to share the good news. Again, I say to you, it's not a case, it's not our position to convert, to change people. That is not what we have to do. But as Jesus, we need to get involved with people. You see, he came down. He didn't just say that he loved us. He came down and did something about it. He made himself part of our lives. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and said, come down immediately. I must go to your house today. This is what Jesus wants. For you to go around this world as one that has met Jesus, listening to what God's doing, aware of what's happening, where the person is, and say, come down, let me share Jesus with you. You see, God is not like us. God has revealed himself and wants to be found. God opened up a way for everyone through his death and resurrection. God asked us to come near and repent. There is a time limit on this offer. There is a time of judgment coming. And as always, there will be two groups. There will be two groups that react to the message. Those that sneer and dismiss the message. There will be. There will be those that just don't want to know. It happened to Jesus. It happened to Paul. It happens to us today. but there will be those that accept. You see, we're still called to share what Jesus has done. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some people became followers of Paul and believed. Amongst them was Dionysus, a member of Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of other people. So a church was born in Athens. Because a heart was distressed to see people without Christ. A heart that was willing to meet people where they were. A heart that was willing to hear God and say, "What would you have me do?" May that's where our heart may be as well. May God bless us. Amen. Lord, I just ask you that when we sing "What a Wonderful Name," we will also realize the vast amount of people that don't know your name, or who understanding of your name is not what we understand, for whom religious is just a something that other people do. Lord, may our hearts be wounded, may our hearts be distressed as we see the society around us. And help us to ask you, help us to follow you, help us to be led by you, to reach out. As so many have led others to you, Lord, help us to be those that lead others to Jesus. I ask you in your name. Amen.